You know, the most misunderstood word in the English language just might be I. That's because when we use that word, we most commonly are pointing to something that's not real, that's not actually who we are. From a common sense perspective, a human being is a creature evolved from lesser animals, contained within a human body, possessed of a language, rational thought, and so on. However, from a broader perspective, a human being is an aspect of something vastly greater in scope. Furthermore, in our individualizations, we humans are composed of distinct layers. These layers can be peeled away from one another and appreciated for their contribution to the whole. I think the most important example of this layering is that it is possible and desirable to separate the ego from the one who identifies that ego as belonging to him or her. And unless we make real for ourselves that the ego is distinct from who we really are, we will commonly refer to that ego, that aspect of our personality, as I. Now, each of us came into this world as an infant, representing a pure soul, a child of God. We came forth with the purpose of expressing ourselves uniquely and authentically. As those infants, we were powerful beings made from being itself, experiencing being without any power to control the circumstances of our own lives. See the contradiction here? Can you feel the tension created by a being unable to express as itself? Yes, of course, we've been increasingly able to do so as we grew and matured, but here I'm talking about those first few weeks and months of life on Earth. Now, how did our young selves deal with this contradiction? We couldn't yet think logically about our predicament. We certainly couldn't yet deal with the line of logical thought we're engaged in now. But as our unique blend of characteristics emerged, we each developed a personality, a way of being in the world. And those personalities were drafted into the service of trying to help us recover our power, the power we gave away to those who helped us survive and grow. As we grew, each of our personalities found new and more sophisticated ways of gaining more control. They learned ways to manipulate those around us, each trying to bend others to its will. Some of them do it by whining and complaining, some by bullying, some by reasoning with others. This is the ego polishing its strategies for getting what it wants, finding ways to dominate others and avoid domination itself, masking its whining and bullying with socially acceptable words and actions, and all the while pretending to be a grown-up. Now, when we use phrases such as I need, I want, or I don't want, what are we pointing to with the word I? It's clear to me in my own experience that when I speak those phrases, I'm referring to the personality I, the ego I. Another great example of this misunderstanding is the way in which most of us are presently being asked to cope with or protect ourselves against the coronavirus. Now, please, don't misunderstand. I am fully in favor of behaving appropriately with regard to this phenomenon. However, I think a perfectly appropriate question is, who is it that needs to cope or protect itself? When we are in a reactive mode, when we are reacting to events taking place outside of ourselves, the tendency is to forget or obscure the fact that we are more than our egos, our personalities, and we think it is we who are reacting. In my more meditative moments, however, I can see that reaction is basically a mechanical process on the part of my ego, my personality. It is that invented self which reacts, and who I really am, my true self, is simply observing the reaction, the external trigger, and so on. Now, all of this rests upon the hidden, unexamined premise that we humans are all separate, independent beings with no connection other than the interpersonal relationships we create for ourselves. This ego that develops strategies for making its way in the world is a fiction. But it's given life by our constant attention. It clamors for our attention, which we all bestow upon it, and it rewards us with the illusion of power, safety, security, belonging, and so on. I think we can easily see that those rewards are illusory, especially in the context of the coronavirus, which seems to have intruded upon our daily lives and taken away all those false comforts. If they can be taken away so abruptly, they are clearly illusory and thus not worth much. The real self, the one truly deserving of the label I, has no need of protection or coping. It's both the observer and the creator within us, and it's eternal, the quiet, loving witness within us. Everything else is it, not I. Making that distinction restores calm, purpose, and certainty. Taking care to use I only in referring to this silent, all-powerful, all-loving being within us will, by degrees, return us to the blessed experience of who we really are.